Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here today with a very special guest, Katie Parada. Katie is a member of our team at Renewal Ministries and at ID 916. She's a member of Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and she's part of a very dynamic and amazing family that I've known for many years. And I've asked Katie to come on the program today to just share her story, her testimony. I had on the program yesterday a good friend of hers and one of our team members as well, Caitlin Miller. And I've asked these sisters, these women to come on the program this week, young, dynamic millennials who are a real sign of the, I often think, the serious way with which Jesus is gathering up disciples among millennials to have a tremendous impact on the church. And Katie certainly is one of those people. So welcome, Katie.
Thank you. It is a joy to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're on the program. So tell our listeners, let's just start with kind of your personal story, your background, your family, and kind of your relationship with Jesus and the church.
So I grew up in a big Catholic homeschooling family. I have 10 siblings. I'm third out of 11. And so I think in really the most powerful way that has formed me, and it's really one of the biggest tools the Lord has used to teach me who I am, teach me my gifts and my talents. My dad was in the military, he was in the Army, and so we moved around quite a bit. And so that process of having to pack up and move to a new spot every couple of years really drew our family closer together. And my dad was deployed a handful of times overseas. And so those experiences of having my dad in harm's way and really like being at the home front with our family, praying to St. Michael every single night, you know, praying a rosary together, really brought us really close. And we relied on our faith to just such a significant degree. I can't imagine what our faith life or what our family life would have looked like without our faith. Going to daily mass, praying together, doing night prayers together, and really seeing our faith as the most important thing that we had and that we shared in common, and really the reason why we were all here, the reason why our family had been so open to life, because they knew the Lord and because they knew that each life was such a gift. And so the gift of siblings is just so tremendous to have someone who's very much like you, but very, very much not like you.
Yeah.
And learning how to love a different type of person every single day. And I have 8 younger siblings, and so being able to mother them and to learn to love them and meet their needs and trying to figure out, you know, like, it is not about me, like from a very early age, learning like my life is not about me. My time is not about me. And really, I'm here to love and to serve and to put others' needs before me. And so,
And I knew your father when we've never talked about it very much, back when he was in elementary school, right? Such a talented guy. He's a doctor now, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a doctor. And
mm-hmm.
he's no longer in the military.
Mm-mm, nope.
Yeah. But Dominic is an amazing guy. And your mother, Heidi, the two of them have done an amazing job raising an amazing family. You know, we talk about evangelization and the discipleship, and it all begins in the home. That's the church's teaching, right? And I tease your parents sometimes and say, you know, you guys ought to write a book, or we should do a documentary or something, because you guys did a lot of right stuff, because your family's amazing. And, you know, a big brood of 11,
mm-hmm.
all smart, all talented, all focused, all alive, all seem to be just like really confident and natural and healthy. And it's just a gift, you know, they all come marching into church on Sunday, and they fill up an entire pew in church, you know,
yep.
And they
stair
sing.
Steps.
Yeah, there's stair steps, and they sing, and when the boys were little, they didn't always sing, but they're peaceful, you know, and there's just a certain peace and a certain joy and a deep unity in your family that is an extraordinary sign of the power of life together as a family in Christ. It's just beautiful to see. So, and it radiates from you. You know, it very much radiates from you. So,
yeah, in those relationships, my parents just put such an emphasis on our relationships with each other. So when we would fight about what movie we were going to watch or, you know, what game we were going to play, any of those things could be confiscated. Any of those things would be taken out of the situation if we put that good in front of the good of the person in front of us and mm-hmm. in front of our sibling. And so we knew my relationship with my sister is way more important than any movie or any game or whatever the plans are, you know, if we're going out. If we couldn't decide on what restaurant we're going to go to, you know, on a special occasion, it's like, well, if we can't get along, like, the family piece is so much more important than any other thing. So it really removed that materialism and that emphasis on really the world and really saying to love the other person is the most important thing in this situation.
Yeah, and one of the things that really does come across in your family is, wow, these people really like to be together.
We do. we really do.
They really enjoy each other, you know, and then you invite other people into it, and there's a kind of good infection that you guys spread. It's own kind of evangelization, really, you know, and it's really wonderful. But also, tell us a little bit about your own, a little bit more about your own personal journey of faith.
Yeah, so going to Daily Mass as a family just had a tremendous impact on me, because I really saw that it was profoundly important for our family, and being able to receive the Lord regularly really laid the foundation, and I think really prepared my heart for a huge amount of grace to receive Him in a very personal way. And it was really in high school where I started to realize that I could spend my time in a lot of different ways. I could go to my youth group, I could go to Life Teen at Christ the King, or I could go hang out with friends, or I could engage in things that wouldn't necessarily glorify the Lord. And so I saw in myself a hunger to learn more about the Lord, because I saw how important it was to my parents, and seeing the way that they had raised us. And the Lord just gave me the grace to really see, okay, there's something more here, and I don't feel like I fully understand this. I don't fully get it. And it was really, I had a powerful experience of encountering the Lord in the Eucharist after my confirmation. And I walked into this chapel one day and just felt like I was face to face with the tabernacle. I felt like there was a person, and he was great, and he was mighty, and he loved me. It was a very personal love, and kind of like sitting with that experience and saying, okay, there's something more here that I don't understand, really opened my heart to take my faith more seriously. And it was really through the Father John Ricardo podcast of Christ is the Answer. I just saw in myself such a thirst for the faith and such a thirst to know more. And I could see in my mom this, her joy and her hospitality and the way she wanted to welcome people is lived out practically. And I wanted to be more like that. I know I didn't have the joy and I didn't have that relationship with the Lord. But also in my dad, I saw this deep understanding of the faith and this deep intellectual understanding. And I wanted more of that. And so I worked as like a house cleaner during high school and college. And as I was cleaning people's houses for hours, I would put in my earphones and I'd listen to the Father John Ricardo podcast. And I just felt like the Lord so like intimately formed my heart while diving into the sacraments, to the Beatitudes, to the Ten Commandments, and really most of all, theology of the body, and really realizing that I am good and that I was made for a purpose, and that I could really actually come to know the Lord, that He's real and that He's good and that His plan makes sense. And it is not something that's supposed to weigh on us or hold us down, but actually frees us to become who we were made to be.
Very good. That's very inspiring. Now, you've recently made a vocational decision. So let's talk about that whole journey.
Yeah. So when I was in college, I was way too busy to do anything other than my studies. And that's what I told myself. But a friend invited me to get involved with the pro-life group on campus. And through interactions with the pro-life group, I really came to know the Lord in a deeper way, seeing the way that He would use me in people's lives. And in a particular way, there was a young woman who came to one of our just like apologetics events, and she said, I just found out that I'm pregnant and I don't know what to do about it. My boyfriend and I don't know what we're going to do about it. And I'm 18, I'm a freshman, and this really jeopardizes my whole future. And seeing the Lord just fill her heart with so much grace and the ability to accept this child, and seeing the way that He was using me and seeing the way that I could be an instrument of His love and an instrument of grace just really profoundly impacted me. And it brought me to my knees on a whole new level, because I really felt like I was walking with the Lord, but there was kind of like this transactional dynamic to it. But then to just see, wow, Lord, like You have such a bigger plan than I even understand. And so...
Can I just have you explain that transactional, this transactional thing, and then contrasting it to a bigger picture? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so there's very much like we go to Mass, and it can kind of become like Catholic autopilot. You go to Mass, you check your boxes, you say your rosary. Maybe you're not really even mentally there the whole time, but you're doing what you need to do, and it's good stuff, and you should be doing it. But there's something where your heart can be not in it. Your heart can be somewhere else, and your mind can even be somewhere else, even if you're just going through the steps. So it's kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do my part, and then, you know, You give me salvation, and we'll get to heaven, and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But through encountering the Lord in the Eucharist and seeing the way that He could use me and the way that He was really saving lives around me, I realized that there is a person, that Jesus Christ is a person, and that He is really walking with me, and that this isn't something I just show up and I say hi and then I leave. He was given to me in my baptism, and those graces were renewed in my confirmation, and that He intimately knows me and knows me better than I know myself. And this is actually a journey, and this is a relationship, and this isn't some checking the box type of thing. This is a deep union with Him. And so working with the pro-life group and seeing the way that the Lord loves each person and the great plan he has for each life, even lives that are in crisis, really just like put a profound ache in my heart to stand for the dignity of the human person. And really seeing a culture of death, and really seeing the way that those around me didn't know their own dignity, that they didn't see their own worth, and the way that we lack love for each other. We treat each other like transactions, and we don't treat each other like humans, right? It's a culture of death, because we separate the spirit from body. We just treat people like bodies, right? And that mm-hmm. really is death. We're treating mm-hmm. people with less than their dignity.
Yeah.
And so really seeing the heartbreak of the Lord for women who are in crisis, for the unborn, and just kind of like sitting with that heartbreak and asking the Lord, what do you want to do with this? I have a great zeal to share the gospel. I have talents to serve you. But what do you want to do with that? And through the course of college and my post-college life, the Lord began to show me that that this could be used to serve him, and that he could be a part of this. This just wasn't some random thing that was going on the side, but really it was kind of coming to the forefront of my mind.
There's a kind of calling maybe emerging mm-hmm. in you? Is that what you
And saw? So I just kind of like sat with this restlessness, and at mm-hmm. a focus conference, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, I met a religious order called the Sisters of Life, and there was really something special about them. And when I met them, because I'd been sitting with that heartbreak, and I saw in them that same heartbreak, I'm like, oh my gosh, these women want to lay down their lives so that others would live. They want to totally consecrate themselves to the Lord to bring about a culture of life. And they are prayer warriors. They lay down their lives to pray for the coming of a culture of life. Holy cow, that is what is echoing in my heart. And so I sat with that for about 4 years, and I was dating a young man at the time, and we definitely just laid our vocation out before the Lord and said, Lord, we want your will. And we did a litany to Our Lady of Loretto, and the Lord just absolutely like blew us off our feet with the grace to say, for me to say, I really feel like my heart is made for consecration. I feel like the Lord is calling me in a very particular way to lay down my life for the unborn and for women. And Our Lady of Guadalupe has been so much a part of this whole journey. It's that time with the Lord in prayer. It was silencing myself and saying, Lord, what do you really want? And meaning it. And saying, Lord, whatever you really, really want, I want to accept that. Even if it's hard. Even if it means changing the trajectory of my life. Even if it means leaving this amazing family that I have. Even if it means ending this dating relationship. What you want, I've come to know, is actually what's best. Mm-hmm. Even though it could be radical and it could require a lot from me, it really is. It's not plan B. My plan is plan A, but yours is kind of good. No, yeah. Your plan really is what's best. My plan is probably good, but yours is really what's best.
That's beautiful. You know, I heard echoes through your sharing about when you started caring for students around you, noticed people were using people instead of loving people. And it made me think about what you were taught growing up. You know, your parents said, it's about each other. It's about loving each other. And that thing's just built deeply in you. And they discipled you and raised you that way. And then I've certainly seen that passion that you have for the unborn and for supporting women. You really do have a tremendous gift. And it's going to be sad for us to see you go, but we're super excited because you're right in the heart of what Jesus wants you to do. And it's really great. But wow, the time just flew by. Katie, thank you so much for being with us. And hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Yes.
You can come back when you're visiting your family
and
friends.
That would be great.
Hope you can join us again tomorrow. We're going to have both Katie and Caitlin on together to continue our conversation. God bless you and have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.